Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Patricia.
Alaikum salam.
Due to Allah. Well, you are the host, and I'm your co-host. We want to welcome everybody, and I want you to tell the people which way we got to go. Go ahead, sister.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ridgely. Welcome to all of you all who are on tonight to the Elevated Places. My name is Sister Emeritus Patricia Muhammad from Holly Springs, Mississippi, and I am here tonight as your host. And I pray that everything that we're about to say tonight would be of some good or use to those of you who are listening to us. And I would like to just give you a little history of myself. I was put on a post in the ministry in the year of 1999 by student minister Ava Mohammed. And I have been here for the past 20 plus years. And I am here tonight to try to give you some insight into the 27th anniversary of the Million Man March, the need for atonement, God and self, and the community. I, at one time, when I first came into the nation, I was looking for guidance, the light of understanding and wisdom. I found this through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by him, exemplified by him, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I thank Allah for letting me be here today to talk to you a little bit and to give insight to what I've learned over the years and some of my experience that I had experienced as a woman in the post of the ministry. Has not always been good, but I thank Allah for letting me be here today to let you all know that I'm still striving to make it through until the very end. And I pray that I can leave something behind that you can use for the rest of your life And as a woman, it wasn't easy in the ministry. If there's one thing I know, that the woman of God is the answer to our prayers. A submitting woman to God is the answer to our prayers. So the history that I will give you is just something to let you know that is still going on in our time today. And that is, we get no respect as a woman in the ministry, and I could say a lot of other things in places where we are not respected as a woman. Under the leadership in Holly Springs, and Minister Farrakhan came to Holly Springs, and he chose Alfred Skip Robertson, a.k.a. Alfred Skip Robertson, later on becoming Minister Abdul Aziz Muhammad. And under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, I was always in a position where I was either the male assistant, where I would teach when they were not there, or carried on in the absence of our minister at the time. And I would get invited after Sister Ava put me on this post. And it was May 16, as I said, 1998. And I did all that, well, 1999. Mm-hmm. And I did all that I could to help her. And she was a greater help to me than I ever realized. And then going to the different churches, I would notice when I got to the church, there would be ministers at the podium or sitting on stage at the podium, but they would put this little desk or chair down in front of the rostrum for me to speak. And it didn't bother me. I knew why they were doing it. Most of the time, it would be the women in the church that invited me to speak at a Women's Day program or something for the youth, the children. And I could never, or I was never invited to sit with the men in that area because I was not respected as a woman in the ministry. And so when I would start to teach, I would remember the words from the minister, and I may not say it exactly the way he said it, but to deny a woman to speak about God. And as a mother, we are the first teachers of our children. But to deny us to speak, he asked the ministers at that time, if your mother came in the church and wanted to speak, you wouldn't let her speak from this rostrum or this podium. You wouldn't let her speak. And I don't think they liked the question because I didn't see any, I don't know, I didn't see a light in their eyes or a light in their faces saying that, okay, he's right. We shouldn't do this. But it's still being practiced. Male chauvinism is still being practiced. Sexism is still being practiced. But my sister Ava, my dear sister Ava, whom I miss so much, and I'm going to try to do as well as I can because of what she had taught me and how she lived her life, and that is to speak the truth regardless of circumstance, but speak the truth from the heart, not out of envy, not out of anger, but just speak the truth and stand on that truth. And during the years before Islam, we met with clans over the years. We would go to different places where they were. We were boycotting different stores, banks, to get blacks jobs. And they were shooting and killing and hanging us even then. So under Alfred Skip Robertson at the time, we met a lot of Klansmen, Klanswomen, their children. And I had this book called The Sanctuary. I think it's The Sanctuary, where they was hanging us from trees, sons, and the men killing them at the same time. And then we had all of this to deal with in our time. And I am so happy today to be here alive and well to tell you it's not going to work. You can accept us as we are, and we are striving to become the women of God, And if we do what Allah God have asked us to do, we will succeed at that. I like being called a girl because when I'm called a girl, I know what God meant. We have to learn how to be girls first, and we grow into the woman of God. And I can't wait for that day to hear those words. But right now, I will take MGT, Muslim Girls Training, and General Civilization classes. I thank all of you for listening, and I pray that one day our little girls, before they grow into women, will not have to go through what women are going through today, and that is trying to fight the male ego. We pray and leave that to God himself. And what we need to do is learn self-control, not trying to control anyone else. Learn to obey God. Because Sister Ava putting me on this post taught me one thing, that the fight has just begun. We are told that the year 2000 was the year of the woman. And I believe long before that, we were women of God, and now we have to act like the woman of God, to learn self-control. I know who Satan is. I know what Satan does. I know what a devil is. Satan makes devils. We have to learn how to control our thinking, our thoughts. And we have to love each other, sisters. Most of all, we have to love each other and want for each other what we love and want for ourselves. And we have to constantly ask Allah for his assistance through prayer and patience. And if we can continue to strive to be like God, there is no stopping us now. So I ask all of you to please lend an ear to my co-host, Dr. Ridgely. And if I've said anything to hurt anyone's feelings, I did not intend that at all. I pray that we can continue to love each other, do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. And the title of this night will get you on the right track on the 27th anniversary of the Million Man March, an atonement and a need for the atonement. Because we can atone to one another and still not be where we need to be if we don't follow up those words in the atonement, that we can meet with God and finally know that we are in the right place at the right time with the right people to guide us. And I think everybody in the sound of my voice now know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is that guide for us today. And sisters, we pray together, we cry, we grieve, and we work, and we pray. And no one has to go through what we did to get where we are today, but thank God he used some of us. We had to make sacrifices to be where we are today. But to take a person today because you're a woman and say that I can't stand behind a rostrum and teach, I don't need the wood or the fiberglass or whatever it is your podium or rostrum is made out of to teach, or to be a woman of God, starts in the womb, starts with the woman. We can either make a God or we can make a devil. So I ask that our brothers work along beside us to help us to meet and help him to meet and overcome his obligation so that we all can see heaven at once while we live on this earth. I will turn it over now to my most capable co-host, Dr. Ridgely, and take it on from here. And God willing, I will be speaking to you in a few moments. Thank you so much. Love you, and assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Sister Patricia. And you said emeritus, minister emeritus. You know, thank you for giving us a little bit of the history. You told me a little bit of your history Tuesday night, which I did not know. You know, I didn't even have your phone number until now. You know, so we were not that close. I admired what you were doing in Holly Springs from a distance because you always show up. Holly Springs will always show up when we have believers business meeting in terms of how as a study group, how you all were always on top of things. And it was being led by a sister. So I've always was impressed with that. And,
yes,
you know, when Minister Farrakhan, I was there when he instated Minister Ava, Dr. Minister Ava, on that post. And he said something that's always stuck with me when you talk about the brothers and the ego. He said that Minister Ava, unlike some of his brother ministers, is not in competition with him.
That's right.
He just wants to teach the truth that I teach, but she's not in competition with him.
Absolutely.
And look what happened in terms of her development. He developed up to being his national spokesperson.
That's right.
Okay? And when she speaks, people listen because they know that she is right in line with Minister Farrakhan. And
that's right.
If you get out of line with Minister Farrakhan, you start swinging that headpiece.
That's
when
right.
You start pitching that headpiece. You know you done messed up.
Yes,
the lion is here to protect her king and the king's baby. So when she saw that headpiece shaking, you done went over the line and she go burn your behind. Okay? Because
yes.
The Minister Farrakhan said in the janazah, that she loved him. She loved him because what was in him coming out of him. It
That's
was
right.
not a sexual way that he loved him and he loved her. They were both representing and looking at God. So when she
That's
was looking
right.
at him and listening to him, he was looking at and listening to God, and she was able to take what he said and put it in writing and keep it in line with his intent. Not putting herself in the way of the light that he was sharing with her.
Absolutely.
So that now when we read the study guide, we know we are getting a clear representation of the mind and heart of Minister Farrakhan, which we now know is in line with the mind and heart of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is in line with the mind and heart of Master Farad Muhammad. So we know that Minister Farrakhan is third in line to the universe.
Yes, sir.
That Master Farad Muhammad has been given permission by Allah to fix what he started, to make all things new, and to make the oblong perfect, perfectly round, to fix the problems in the universe. Now, some people, I'll give you an example, may be upset with the universe that they're living in because they can't have it forever. They have to pass away.
Right.
They have life, but they don't want to give it up, and they're upset with God because they have to give it up. But guess what? You didn't make your life. What you found here was here before you got here, and when you woke up to see that you were here, you woke up to see that you were in somebody else's universe. And what Minister Farrakhan stated, according to his daughter, when he was on his deathbed, that he spoke his last words, he thought, he didn't know what he was saying. He said, I think I'm paraphrasing it. He said, but I thank Allah for the privilege of being in his universe.
Yes, sir.
And you see, that's the difference between the mind of a God and the mind of Satan. Because Satan starts off with, I am better. Then he ends up with, I'm not going to serve the man that you made, God, because I am better. So you have an ungrateful one. That's Satan. Whereas Farrakhan is a grateful one. When he said that, I said, my name is Book Me, but he didn't show me what a real believer is. That no matter what happens, he still gives praise and thanks and gratitude to the Creator and not upset because he cannot keep what he was given by the Creator. But Farrakhan and Minister Ava and use what they were given to further the development of God's creatures, his children, in particular, so that we can grow ourselves to be one with him.
Yes.
But
yes.
Don't get it twisted. You're not going to be Master Farrar Muhammad. Don't get it twisted. You're not going to be Elijah Muhammad. Don't get it twisted. You're not going to be a minister of Farrakhan. But we are all going to find our place in the body Christ, which is the nation of Islam, and bring heaven on earth. But I just wanted to say to you, Sister Patricia, and all the sisters.
Yes, sir.
Know, what Minister Farrakhan has done, you know, he has taught us, Elijah Muhammad taught him, that the woman was put away for these last 6,000 years. So, yes, this world has put the woman in a position where she doesn't have power. Okay, but therefore she wasn't able to get as corrupted as the men who thought they had power.
Mm-hmm.
And that power went through their head, and they lost their damn mind and stopped their development. But the woman has been made humble by her humble position in this world. So when the Savior arrived, it was the woman who first saw him. It was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's wife who first saw Master Farrar Muhammad and went and got the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to come and listen to this man. It was Mr. Farrakhan's wife who stood up first when the acceptances were given, when the minister first heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speak. He stood up first. So again, when the woman hears the word of God, at the end of these 6,000 years, he stands up. So we thank you all for standing up. I'm just here.
Thank
I call
you.
Myself up in the tree as a watchman or a sniper. I'm just here to just look over the terrain and to make clarity in case there's confusion. And if someone tries to bring some confusion, I'm going to try to bring clarity to that
that
we can stay on point, because we're in a very, very dangerous time right now.
Yes, sir.
The devil and Satan are really, their world is falling apart, like Minister Farrakhan said in the Savior's Day of 2020 in Detroit, the great unraveling. We're looking at the unraveling of a great nation and the unraveling of a great snake. Okay?
Wow.
So thank you very much for having me to be a part of this. And we
thank you.
Need to get to this atonement, the importance of atonement. So I leave it there in case you have something else to say on the issue and in case people want to call and ask us questions. But these steps of atonement is really the time of what must be done. Mr. Farrakhan does not just speak to be applauded. He speaks into the time, and he gives us instructions of what must be done. And Satan has put forth plans of destruction of us and the whole world. And Mr. Farrakhan speaks right into Satan's plan to make him change what he planned to do. And we don't even know that we were the target of a weapon, the target of a bullet, that Mr. Farrakhan caught with his teeth. Fought with his mouth, and his mouth being the mouthpiece for God, backed Satan up that he had to change his plan. And when you know what happens when you stick a banana up a tailpipe of a car, I don't care how powerful that car is, it'll choke itself down. And this is what Mr. Farrakhan has done over and over, so Satan and his plans choke them down. So whenever he speaks, in particular, when he does the commemoration of the Million Man March and the First Million Man March, you might not remember what it was the devil, Satan, was planning to do to us, because Farrakhan blocked it so much that you didn't even feel it. So with that, I'll go back to you, because you know me, we talked a lot too tonight. Once I get to going, start talking about Mr. Farrakhan and his effect on the world. And is the lack of long-term effect on us, because we have not gone through the proper atonement process with each other, so that the negativities that we have developed between each other overrides the love that we feel from him when we are with him. So with that,
yes,
leave it alone and say assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for your comments. And I know we may have some questions to ask you when we are open for the questions. And on the 27th anniversary of the Million Man March, and what we have to do is remember the oath that the brothers have taken. We have to remember why they were told to come home, to love their wife, take care of their children, do all that they can to make sure that the woman is safe and protected, our children, and to really work on ourselves, on becoming men in the nation, not the nation, just the nation of Islam, but in the nation itself. And we are to be an example of that. So I have a caller on now, Brother Darrell.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Happy Savior's Day.
Wa alaikum salam. Happy Savior's Day to you, sir.
Yes, I want to first thank Allah for opening the show up and keeping it going through the spirit of our beloved sister Ava, still adjusting to her loss. I'm blessed to hear the last lecture that I was on with her last Thursday when she had just purchased a new home, and it just seemed like I'm still in a dream, you know, or a fog, that she's no longer with us, but I know the grace of Allah, she lives through us and her teachings of the love that she had for Minister Farrakhan. And that he spoke very highly of our beloved sister.
And
I just want to say, long live the spirit of our beloved sister Ava, and may Allah continue to bless her family and our family, because we are family. And I want to thank you, Patricia, of your knowledge and wisdom that you have went through and doing the Klansmen and all of this. And it's a great wisdom that we need to know what our sisters have went through and still going through. And I want to thank Allah for staying strong and keeping the faith of Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, and the Most Honorable Life Muhammad, Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to also thank Dr. Lee for being host on the show, that we may continue to keep the spirit of Sister Ava going.
Yes,
I love you all, and ain't nothing to do about it.
We love you, sir.
Stay safe. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brother Harl, are you on?
Alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
all praises due to Allah. I'm Brother Harl from Memphis, Tennessee. I know, well aware of Sister Patricia and Brother Dr. Ridgely. Dr. Ridgely, I'm just coming through your area of Terrell County, working, coming out of Waycross, Georgia, working at a hospital there. And I passed by Terrell County, just coming through there. And
I
have to get on the show tonight. All praises due to Allah.
Did you get a traffic ticket? You know, they call it Terrell County. They call it Terrell County because it's their number.
I saw them waiting up there like hound dogs up there. I saw all praise due to Allah. Yes, man. I just want to say, I'm adjusting like Brother Darrell, and it's a blessing to have both of you all great ministers on here. Sister Patricia, you've done an excellent job all the time you've been in Holly Springs. I know your work. Brother Clarence, and my people are from my dad's people from Tupelo, and I'm well aware of Holly Springs. I have some family there too, and my mother's folks are from Natchez, so you know I'm well. I love Mississippi. That's my second home. And you know, you're a perfect example of, you know, ministry, what Sister Ava set up, you know, for sisters, you know, being an example. And you keep that up. And this show, you're doing an excellent job with the example of what we're here, Sister Rona, Sister Donna, Sister Pamela, all are great women in Islam that are being examples for our people. And just to mention Dr. Ridgely, you know, he's been on the show for years, dropping wisdom. And I'm not going to be long. I thank Allah, you know, that we're keeping the work up, you know, and keeping the show up. And, I'll be calling in, inshallah, you know, to put, like I said, put my 2 cents in. But let's keep the spirit of the Million Man March of atonement, reconciliation. And in this dark hour, we need all of the principles of the Million Man March, especially yes. In this dark hour. We need it 100%. And what we're about to go through, and if we don't see what's going on now, Dr. Ridgely, you see how dry these fields are, don't you? It's dry. I know the harvest is bad. You know, all through Arkansas, it's extreme drought. Mississippi, Tennessee, the West Coast, we haven't seen anything yet. So we've been given instructions to get our survival kits. And Minister Farrakhan gave us a cheat sheet, you know, to follow him, follow his example, follow the council, follow our righteous ministers, and we'll get through this dark hour. But may Allah bless you. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to let somebody else talk, and I love you all. And like Brother Dale said, nothing you can do about it. Assalamu alaikum, family.
That's right. Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, brother, so much for your comments, and surely they will help us to do better in our efforts to please God himself. We have another caller. It's Brother Louis Ali. Are you on, sir?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm good now that I hear your voices on elevated places.
Oh, praises are due to Allah. Thank you.
Sister Patricia and Dr. Ridgely, thank y'all so much for doing this show tonight. And we really want to keep it going because the last time that I spoke with our sister before we got off the phone, I told her she was the best.
Praises be to Allah.
And she told me, like she always says, mm-hmm. We're the winners, Brother Louis. We're the winners, beloved. She wanted us to know that we were winners.
Yes, sir.
Sister Patricia, I know you had many stripes, but by your stripes, many sisters were healed.
Praises are due to Allah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That traps us in sexism, and brothers were healed too. Now,
yes,
on the current edition of the Final Call newspaper, there's the picture of the black man, the black woman, and the black child. Strong
mm-hmm.
foundation of a great nation. That's a beautiful picture, but it is the
yes,
core
sir.
Of black power.
There we go. Yes, sir.
Now, when we done the Million Man March, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us the theme, Atonement, Reconciliation, and Responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that need to be pointed out. Dr. Ava, before she departed, she was getting ready to do a master's class. I saw the flyer. I can't quote
mm-hmm.
it, but I hope that if anybody has the flyer, they will put that flyer back out because it talked about the gender war between the black man and woman. And then she had on there identifying the source of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't naturally dislike our women or our women dislike us. There's something that they've put in between us. And I wanted to highlight this because Dr.
Yes.
researched
yes.
it. In 1918, 3 years after the departure of Booker T. Washington, maybe 3 years after that Leo Frank case, in 1918 in South Carolina, they made a law saying that black women no longer be housewives.
Hmm.
And forced black women to have to come and work for the devil. Black women, and my grandmother's from Mississippi, and many of my relatives, they didn't want to see a white man. In fact, the white man was the one who was riding around on a horse raping black women in the
mm-hmm.
South. Not a black man like in The Color Purple.
That's right. That's right.
I think a lot of us had better really look at how do we solve this problem with restoring our family, and the brothers got to take the lead in this atonement business.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When they took the black woman out the house, that was when they first took out. They made that a law that she couldn't cooperate. Because black people, you got to understand, they were on a land march and they had acquired, some people say, 16 million acres of land. But really, in Aaron Rhea's book, The Death of Black America, they say that they had gained up to 21 million acres of land. Mm. And the way they done it was the black woman was using positive psychological reinforcement as the fuel to get her men who had just come out of slavery with no education to build
right.
a reality.
That's right.
So the black man was working, and even if he didn't have cash, he had enough cultural relationship collateral to border with one another, especially in Mississippi and Louisiana, Alabama, and throughout the South. But when these little small hats made that law to take the black woman out, that was the beginning of trying to shred and rip our families apart. And they had another wave of this during the 60s. But now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he has wedding pictures in the final call. He's showing us the power. The power is in us becoming a family again. The power is in us becoming like Big Mama, using positive psychological reinforcements and making brothers get out and work and want to desire to give something to their women and children. And so they burned down Black Wall Street in 1921 because they never wanted no black woman who was able to be at home, and they were always working at home. They were working to build our bond and make us into a black power family. That's the reason why we were making so much progress. I just want to make a quick closing point. When Dr. Ava Muhammad came, and Dr. Ridgely, you were there in December of 2014, that was our second panel discussion, where we raised the question, how
mm-hmm.
has immigration affected black businesses?
Right.
That was in line with atonement and pointing out what's wrong and acknowledging that integration sin, and the wages of sin are death. And then Minister Farrakhan anointed and had Dr. Ava going around the country to question should black citizens separation. That was us, and we began to buy land. Over the past years, black people have bought more land than they bought in 40 years because we were repentant for integration. And the last time I spoke with my sister, Dr. Ava, I said, Dr. Ava, because of you crisscrossing this country and because of the movement that we have reached step number 5, which is atonement, where we have to start showing models, Sister Patricia, of what
yes,
we've been in. The black women
yes, sir.
And men have to cooperate and collaborate and never compete. Even in envy is rooted in competition where someone believes that they have been best. And it's such an immature, underdeveloped thing to where you don't grow to the point to understand it. You got to have what's on the front page of the final call, collaboration between the black man, black woman, and growing the children. So I don't want to keep talking, but thank y'all so much for having the show.
Thank you.
love y'all more than you probably know, and I hope
yes,
that we
love
you
too.
Because the work goes on. We got to keep working. Dr. Ava would want us to work.
Yes, sir, she would.
And she'd want us to know we are the winners.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, brother. I would just like to remind the listeners that the number, the call-in number is 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. And if we could right now speak a little bit on the need for our continuance of God, our community, and atonement, why we need to keep on doing this now, more so than ever since our sister Ava have taught mm-hmm. us so much about all of this, especially separation, why we should separate, why we need our own. And we know God himself, once we realize who the God really is and that we really are the children of God, we really are the true Israelites, and God came with a history of ours that we never knew who we were, and we are having a hard time adjusting to what God wants us to do, but we can accept what Satan wants us to do and think that's the right way for us to go. If we want to do all that we can to help keep her memory alive, and we will do that by the grace of God, we have to learn everything we can about the God himself, our creator, and we got to learn how to accept self. And then we got to have self-control. We got to learn how to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and fear him and him alone. And once we can get ourselves together, we can help bring the community together. And God came to his home, to his house, that he came to teach us of ourselves. And the more we know about self, and we thank Allah, and we will never, ever be able to thank Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad for what she did to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with our study guide, because it was so much in study guide number 15 on humility. Also taught us why we are like we are today, why we still doing the things we do today. And I think one of the brothers just spoke, was speaking about slavery on the plantation, what happened to us, our women, our mothers, and our aunts that were carrying us in fear. They would do things to our men so that we would fear them and not God. Taught us that God was white, and we have all of this still in us that we need to get rid of. And I know with the study guides that we have today, we can walk right up out of this if we would hear, obey, submit our will to God himself, and please let the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan be our guide today. It's nothing that that man has not done to who he is, what, where he came from, and where he's going. He makes it known. He don't care what nobody else thinks. A sign for me to do the same. The messengers say, when you see the man, look at him. Where he said to go, you go. He said, stay away from it. Everything that he has done up until this point, and you want to say that this man sinned, the reason why he's going through what he's going through? No, he was carrying our sin. He was carrying our transgression. He was loving us so much that he asked Allah not to kill us, and we still cannot appreciate what this man has done for us. And I say, it is something wrong with us. It's still a sickness in us. And if we don't start to atone and practice all eight steps, and if anybody don't have the eight steps, I promise you somebody on this phone can get them to you. We need to practice the eight steps of atonement. There's action behind saying, I believe, and I can do this or I can do that. But you have to apply. You have to apply everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, perfect example of, a holy man. The minister would not even claim the word holy. He said, I'm a righteous man. Allah God has taken care of all of my sins. So I'm going to let my host come in and let someone else have a question that they need to ask before I go back to Dr. Richard. Are there any more questions?
Well, I want to answer a question.
Okay.
That I know is in people's minds.
Yes, sir.
One thing I have learned how to do is get into the mind of Negro and into the mind of Satan, because I went to school with him in prep school. But I've been a Negro all my life, and people say I'm a scientist. And what that means is I just observe. I observe, I record, and I try to make connections and analysis, try to see what is the thread of the principle involved. Now, what leading up to the Million Man March, we go a little bit in the history of what happened in the black community leading up to the Million Man March. As we know, they were bringing drugs and guns into our community, and they were starting these wars amongst different factions, calling them street gangs. And they called us, there's a movie that came out, what, The Menace to Society?
Yes.
Where they are portraying the black man as the reason for all the problems in America, and that somebody needs to tame him or get rid of him. So they had a plan to come into the black community and mow us down wholesale. So what did Mr. Farrakhan do? He ran around the country with a Stop the Killing tool.
Right.
Stop the Killing tool. And it culminated in the Million Man March. And many of us thought we was going up there and there was going to be a war started up there and we might not come back home. You know, it was that thick. It was that thick. So, and what did Mr. Farrakhan say? He had a chance, if he had a ego, to stand up and talk a lot of fire about the white man and what we're going to do to the white man and what we need to do to the white man. He's a devil. He did this to us and that to us. But instead, he said, we need to atone. And many of us say, atone for what? Atone to who? It's the white man who did this to us. And it's those small hat. Now, let's straighten that out. Small hat, that means a Jew, okay? The so-called Jew, all right?
Yeah.
That's a small hat, okay? So they are the ones who've done this to us. Why do we need to atone? Well, you know, I'm a farmer and I'm a person. And I look at a lot of nature programs. And, you know, there's a difference between a pack of wolves and some human beings. Like us, the wolves are not human. The wolves survive based on killing prey. And a lot of times that prey, the animal they want to kill, is too big for them to handle by themselves. So they fight in packs. And once they make the kill, though, they start running and fighting amongst one another. But when they get hungry, guess what? They get along together again because it's time to make a kill.
Mm-hmm.
So white people
mm-hmm.
are like wolves. Remember, they went to the island when they was black, but they wanted to make their brother their slave. They didn't know they would be made into a race of that germ, which made them want to make their brother a slave, the brown germ. And so now in them, they only live to try to make somebody their slave. They only live to take from others. They don't want to make nothing. They have to be taught by Musa how to even build a home for themselves and to cook them meat, because they're like savage beasts. And we wonder how come white folks can unite and get together and we as black folks can't. Well, we did at many times got together. And they came from the outside and took us down. There's a whole period of history that would happen between 1865 and 1910, what Brother Louis Alia alluded to in terms of how much land we had bought. We worked together. When we came out of slavery, the thing we did was go back to find the family that we were torn from, our wives that we couldn't marry, and the children that they could not have control over. The men went out to find them and even build schools. We built schools, hospitals, businesses. We did all this for our family because we had love for one another. And guess what? We had no choice, because when they threw us out, they did not give us 40 acres and a mule. They just threw us out into the woods. And they had made a prediction by 1896. They made a prediction that in two generations after 1896, we would die out if you don't give the Negro health care. But by 1910, we had 8 medical schools. By 1923, we had 200 hospitals. Why? Because the white man wouldn't touch us. He wouldn't give us medicine. He wouldn't do surgery on us. We had to do for self. He wouldn't bury us. We had to do for self if we intended to live. And we did live. We did prosper. But when the small hats, the so-called Jews, added things up and realized that we, like the tribe of the Bars, which they didn't know about, went into the woods, the same way the tribe of the Bars went into the deepest part of the jungle in Africa and built civilization in Africa, we built civilization right in the middle of the white man, right on the outskirts of his town, and areas that he didn't want, swamps and rocky and hilly. We fought that, and then we began to build a nation within a nation. And then he came and he burnt us out. They lynched us. They ate us. They cooked us. They ate us. They left us. October 5th, 1919, in Arkansas, in Arkansas, they killed 200 black men just because these black men who were farmers weren't. They set up a co-op so that they could get a better price for their cotton and for exercising their right to unite and work together. They killed them all outright in the middle of the street, helped by the military. So you say, well, black folks, tell me they don't do together. You know why? We say, let's separate. And the people say, well, but you know what they ain't going to do with farmers. They did in Tulsa. So you know they're together. But you don't believe that there's a God other than the white man. Even though the white man is an evil God, you don't think there's no righteous God who can deal with him. But Master Farah Muhammad, all praise due to Allah, came to us in 1930 and said he has a will. And it took him to 2021 to finally admit. In June of 2021, they admitted publicly. They've known about these wheels for a long time, and they know they cannot do anything with them. They're too fast. They can't do anything with them. So this is why they had to come with the poison, with this COVID-19 shot, to kill us on the inside if we let them in, because they couldn't attack us from the outside because of the wheel now. But back to this atonement thing. We, as black people, we don't organize so that we can go out and steal and rob and take stuff from other people, go into their countries and steal their product to bring back to our country. That's not the way we operate. We work together in a collective manner. Slaves did not build pyramids. Righteous black Africans did. Why? Because we needed to survive. We needed to work together because we was in a desert, and we needed a water irrigation purification system the same way the Gaddafi would use the underground water underneath the Libyan desert. It was underneath the Egyptian desert as well, and we used that. And then they came and blew Gaddafi's stuff up, because he was going to make an oasis in the desert the way the Egyptians made an oasis along the Nile River and was a fit food all over the world. We were the breadbasket. So if I am in a house and the people in that house I don't like anymore because they've done some things to me, then I'm not going to stay in that house. If I get enough money, get out, I'm getting out. Why would I stay in hell? Why would I stay with somebody who's giving me hell? So what did we do? What did Mr. Farrakhan ask us to do? We was robbing one another. We was killing one another over territory, over drugs. And so Mr. Farrakhan asked us to atone to each other so that we can get beyond the pain of what we cause to each other, because we cannot unite if I feel that my brother did me wrong and my brother won't even fess up that he did me wrong. Well, I'm going to just lay in the cut and do him wrong when I get a chance to do him wrong. So we now are people who are divided amongst self because of something that our brother and our sister have done to us, or we think that has been done to us. And instead of going to our brother and sister, telling them what they did, or instead of going to our brother and sister and telling them what I do, I know you might not know this, brother or sister, but you know I did such and such and such and such, and that's why that happened to you. That was really, it was my fault. I'm sorry. What can I do to fix it? That's atonement.
Yes, yes,
and of course, if you are a believer in Allah, in God, if your brother or sister comes to you like that, guess what you got to do?
Yes.
You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. Now, when you do that, now there can be that unity in them. We are not a pack of fools. We cannot live under this type of wickedness in terms of what we do to each other. Lying, stealing, conniving, messing with each other's wives, messing with each other's girlfriends, messing with each other's sisters. We can't do that and have peace. And since you do not provide a job for me, since you do not provide an army to protect me, then I don't need you. If you're not going to give me some type of peace, so the enemy, well, the enemy, they how come they got peace? Do you know how many lawyers white folks got? Do you know how many lawyers white folks got? Who you think them lawyers are? To protect them against us? No, to protect them against each other. Because they know they're a pack of wolves. But they know they need each other for killing time. They need each other to go and rob other people's wealth and to bring it back to their cave. So they will get along with each other because they are a pack of wolves. We are not a pack of wolves. We just want to have peace.
That's right.
And so if I can't come with my brother and sister and live in peace, I don't want to be with them. I just rather stay with Master. So the atonement process is essential to us moving to the next level that we can get together and do for self like we did before in this country after slavery. They hide that history from us because they don't want us to know that slavery did not destroy us. Integration is what destroyed us. Look what Brother Louis Ali said. They made a law so the woman couldn't stay in the house. She had to go in the white man's house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We didn't ask for integration. They forced this on us over and over again.
Right.
And why did the law have to force it on us? Because they know that we cannot live together with white folks in peace, because white folks, by the definition of themselves, cannot live around dark people because they will lose their identity and the children will come out brown and black and not white.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to keep us at a distance and under control if they want to keep their weak white skin. So forcing integration is causing a problem between the black and the white. The only solution and the best solution is separation for both sides.
Yes, sir.
And these so-called Jews, I'm going to end on this, these so-called Jews who have pushed integration on us, they are the most hypocritical people in the world when it comes to that, because they don't integrate with nobody. You go in there and try to go into a Jewish synagogue. You go in there and try to marry a Jewish woman. Okay, you're going to try that shit. All right? They don't play that. As a matter of fact, they believe that they're God's chosen people. They're above everything else on earth. And you have to bow down to them. And they do not integrate with you. But they're going to try to get the poor white and the poor black to integrate with each other, knowing that it's going to be destructive to both sides, knowing that they're going to cause a problem. And then they can come in as a middleman and are trying to broker some type of peace between the two, which is not going to last. Because the only thing that can last is that we leave each other alone. You go your way, we go our way. See you at the crossroads if you want to trade something. Otherwise, you stay over there, we stay over here. Guess what? We did best when it was like that. Under segregation, we did best when it was like that. We had hospitals. We had schools. We had bus companies. We had cab companies. We had shoe companies. We had clothing factories. Segregation. But what we got now? One hospital left out of 200. And when COVID hit, they brought in them hospitals and they killed us. Here's to take this shot. I'm going to end on this because you know I can talk forever when I talk about this. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Thank you so much, Dr. Ridgely. And I ask you all, please forgive me when I give out the number, the call-in number. Please, once you dial 563-999-3065, press 1. Please press 1 after you dial the call-in number.
Okay, we see that Sister Charlene, our National Silent Call News correspondent, has a comment.
Yes.
Hi, Charlene, are you on? I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. So wonderful to hear your voices, Patricia, Dr. Ridgely, and the panel.
Yes,
and I'm
going
to...
Yes,
was that Dr. Ridgely? I'm sorry.
No, ma'am, I ain't said that.
Oh, pardon me. So thank you all for continuing the broadcast. And I just want to briefly say that in reflection of what you're saying, and thank you for raising Brother Louis Ali's comment, it's just totally right and exact. You know, we have a situation going on that, in my opinion, exemplifies what you're saying, Brother Dr. Ridgely and you all. Look, at the L.A. City Council, the first Latina elected to the City Council in 2019 has been, there was a secret tape that came out of her conversation with two other Latino City Council persons, councilmen, and one head of the labor, the L.A. County Federation of Labor, the union, major union here. He's Latino. And they leaked them saying some derogatory things about black people and others. And the key thing that is going to be coming out, inshallah, in the final call soon, is an analysis about it from the perspective of what you're saying in terms of unity. And I think you had an article, not I think, I know you had an article recently, Dr. Ridgely, and you wanted to know, you raised the question, when did they know it and why, in terms of the U.S. government, Operation Warp Speed, and these injections, right? And so, and when I say injections, that's in terms of ivermectin and other treatments, but ivermectin and its ability to cure COVID. So at any rate, this is happening in Los Angeles, and there's the hidden hand there. And as we reflect, part of what one of our sources for the article, Student Minister Abel, as well as Student Minister Abdul Malik Saeed Muhammad, said was atonement. And they brought up the period that we're in right now with the Reman Martin. You know, we have to have black unity before we can have any other type of unity, but we're the original man. And so I just am reflecting on what you say, what you all are saying, and thanks for this opportunity to share. And I'm so glad to be able to share my opinion here on this great program.
Thank you so much, Sister Charlene. We are so grateful to have you on with your comments. Miss talking with you, and pray that we will speak soon, inshallah.
Yes, and hopefully I'll see you Friday or Saturday down in Orlando, Sister Charlene, at this conference where they're talking
Pass the hat.
Pass the hat, right? It costs a little bit of money, $395. You know, I don't know. It costs a little bit of money for this conference, but I want to learn what they know now about how to get rid of that spike protein. You know what I mean?
That's right, and they
and
get that's.
And they're talking about already in their recovery program, I Recover, three major things is vitamin C, ivermectin, and intermittent fasting. So I want to know about this intermittent fasting. I think they call that 1 meal a day. And then three days fasting per month.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what we were taught by God, and now here it comes. Well, you know, one way of getting rid of that spike protein, even if you're taking the shot, is to do intermittent fasting. And the way to get rid of that spike protein is like ivermectin. And I'm going to ask you more about this ivermectin because it just so happens. It just so happens that the only place in the world that you have found, that they found ivermectin, now they're making it all over the world based on what they found, this organism they found in the soil of Japan. They found this organism in the soil of Japan that makes this ivermectin that is it's the best thing to clear out parasites, thing to fight bacteria, is the best thing to fight viruses, and it still does not hurt the human body. No adverse effect. It sounds to me like Master Farad Muhammad was ahead of the game, and he had placed in Japan where he also made the plane. In Japan,
right.
For that next move. The enemy's next move to poison us, and he produced a defense mechanism for us. And ivermectin, I'm going to ask these scientists, these doctors, why is it ivermectin is the best cure for parasites, for bacteria, and for any type of virus, but yet it does not harm the human being? It sounds like a particular defense mechanism set up by God to protect his people. I don't know. But I'm not going to tell them by God. I'm going to make them tell me. How is it that this? What is this ivermectin, and how is it that it can be so protective against so many things, but yet not hurt the human being? Can y'all explain that to me? I'm going around my mic. Hope to see you soon.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. If I may, Sister Patricia, add, may I?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Dr. Ridgely, I'm looking forward to getting that data as well and some of all the other treatment protocols that we yet know about that bear witness to the teachings because, you know, when we think about what you're saying about ivermectin, at least I should say I, what comes to mind is the victory. The Nation of Islam had a major victory by Allah's grace when Dr. Safia
right.
Shabazz went up against the establishment. You know, the nation
praise
did.
Into Allah.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. They had to back down. And one of the her mentors, where she learned about ivermectin from, was Dr. Paul Merritt. He's going to be there as one of the guests, one of the main speakers. So he's a part of SLPCC that we talk about in the final call, where you can learn more about ivermectin. Well, he's the one who first started using it in these protocols to fight the virus, and now they're using it to fight the spike protein that's made by your body. Your body has been tricked with a messenger RNA, a false messenger, that now it's between you and the real messenger from God. The DNA gives out a message to its body through the mRNA, and now the Pfizer and Moderna has put in a fake messenger to give a fake message to your body to produce a poison. And now your body is fighting against one another the same way they do in our communities all the way back to when they first came back 6,000 years ago amongst us, telling lies, calling us to fight and kill one another. Now they're coming within our very cells to help us to fight and kill one another with a false message. Okay?
That's right.
The teachings have come full circle right before your eyes. And Minister Farrakhan, he called them out July 4th, 2020. He called them out, you know, and we said, we're not going to take this shot. We try to make us take the shot. We'll go to war. And guess what? We got a plane. They had to back up. They said, oh, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Now
wow.
That we see, and he's been proven correct again. He called it death before they even did it, before he even came out. How did he know that? The whole world now got to admit the Honorable Venice Louis Farrakhan is being guided by the God.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
You know, there is Dr. Paul Alexander, who is a scientist that is really just blowing the whistle on a lot of things and blowing the cover off of the fact that the government lied in this depopulation scheme. And one of the things we see happening right now, which, and again, in keeping the deliberative dialogue, if you said it, stop me so I don't waste our time here. But we see Dr. Joseph Ladapo down in Florida. He's the Surgeon General, a young black doctor out of Los Angeles, UCLA. You know, they did their own study, and they found out that about, 84%, Dr. Ridgely, of the males, 18 to 39, I think, are collapsing and having cardiac arrest. And so this is like out of the scripture, kill all of the male babies. You know, I didn't look at the demographics in terms of ethnicity, but come on, you know, this is really attacks the black DNA.
Well, you know, at this point, you got to understand, at this point, it don't matter whether they attack the black or the white, because the white people, listen very carefully now, white people have known for years that their government was trying to make a genetic weapon, a biological weapon that would only affect black people and not white people. White folks knew this, act like they did not. And so when they came out with these shots, the white folks thought they would get the good stuff and we would get the bad stuff. But guess what? They got the bad stuff. The Farrakhan blocked them from giving us the bad stuff, and they had all this bad stuff, and they went and gave it to their own. So they don't care. They don't need these white folks. This is very tough. They don't need these dumb white folks no more to take over nobody's country because they've already done their job, and now these white folks want to come for their pay. And it's and their masters, the elite, don't want to pay them. They don't want to pay them their retirement. They don't want to pay them their Social Security. They don't just wipe them out because they don't need them anymore. John Deere by 2030 said they will not be making another tractor for a human being to drive. It will all be run by computers and from a bunker somewhere doing all the farming on the land and even the harvesting.
Wow.
They don't plan to have a human doing nothing but dying. You got to understand who you're dealing with. It don't matter no more whether you're black or white. We thought that we could post to them to be safe. But guess what? They ain't safe no more because they're not needed.
Yeah. That's what we told the students on the forum when MUI West went to the forum. Miles dropped when you said that. The reality of death by zip code or the research death by zip code was brought up. You said you can't be safe living next to them anymore. And you know what else? This all plays into Meta or Facebook and the complete virtual world, the Oculus and all of this. But they put this in film. They drop what they're going to do in film. They always have done that.
Okay. That's right. Well, we go be down there with our reporters, Sister Charlene.
Inshallah, yes, we will record her and camera everything ready. Inshallah.
We'll be in good hands then. Allah's grace and mercy. We'll be in good hands.
So, we have any more questions?
Sister Donna?
Assalamu alaikum.
Are you on, Sister? Yes. Alaikum salam,
can
sister.
You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I'm enjoying this dialogue so much. I am so edified, and that what you and Sister Charlene just discussed, Brother Dr. Ridgely, what you just brought out.
Yes,
just briefly, a two-part comment. I want to, because I want to go back to something you said, Dr. Ridgely, that really resonated with me as it relates to atonement and separation. But first I wanted to just say this first part is, one thing I noticed when it gets to be around this, quote, Day of Atonement season, William M. Martin season, and we tend to issue these blanket statements of, you know, if I've offended anybody, let me know, you know, let me know. Like, it's like in this time frame, or on the Day of Atonement, oh, it's the Day of Atonement, let me ask. Let me just put this blanket statement out there. And I think that might be what's hindering some of us from going forward, because that's not the step. You mentioned, Sister Patricia, about the eight steps. And the first step is there. Someone must point out the wrong, acknowledgement of wrong, confess the fault, first to Allah, then to those offended. Number four, repentance, the feeling of remorse or contrition or shame for the past conduct which was wrong and sinful. Number five is atonement, meaning to make amends and reparations for the wrong. So we haven't even got to atonement until we do four other steps. Then, and it's just like separation. There's three other principles before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad even gets to separation in what the Muslims want. So number six is forgiveness by the offended party to cease to feel offense and resentment against another for the harm done. Number seven is reconciliation and restoration, meaning to become friendly and peaceful again. And last is number eight, which is perfect union with Allah, God, and with each other. So with that, hear the blanket statement and the things that don't come through, it's like it's kind of just talk if we're not really going through the steps.
That's right.
And I'm really thinking about the forgiveness, number six, forgiveness by the offended party, meaning to cease to feel offense and resentment against another for the harm done. And I'm thinking, how often is there, quote, an atonement or resolution, but then as soon as the argument happens, it comes back up again?
We want to throw that
thing up. That's not letting it go. So I wanted to just say that so that it doesn't become just this trite traditional thing. And self-included. I'm talking to self-included. But what stood out to me in what you shared, of the many things you shared, Dr. Ridgely, you gave the example. You said, if I'm in a house and I really don't like what's being done in that house to me, you know, why would I stay? So we have of course, we have to atone ourselves. But we have pointed out as black, now I'm talking about black people in America, how many times have we pointed out the wrongs? How many times have we marched? You know, how many times have we protested? How many times have we sat in? But number two never happens. Because one is pointed out. Number two is acknowledgement of wrong.
That's it.
That has never happened for us.
No, ma'am.
With any meaning, significance, and then for it to be confessed. You know, in the criterion, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told the President, go sit in your quarters, a quiet place, and get with God. Atone. Repent. To see, because you can't come back after us because you don't think you've done anything wrong. So as Dr. Ridgely said, now we got to separate. So now what's wrong with us? Because
yes,
now I got to find out what's wrong to me. Because if I'm staying in this situation and we can't even get past number two, acknowledgement of wrong as a people, then what's wrong with me?
Yes,
now,
ma'am.
I have to, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught integration is a sin. So now I got to atone with my response to God.
That's right.
And he's going to come out of her, my people, and I'm still trying to hold on. And as Minister Ava has so frequently said, we can never fully repair ourselves and really get to the full stage of atonement as long as we are among them.
That's right.
Until we separate. We're only going
to
get so far. Why? Because there's always going to be that agitating hand that doesn't want us to come together.
That's
It means, as you say, Dr. Ricky, it means death to them in their society. And I love how you pointed out that Jewish people, they separate off of themselves.
That's
You're not a part of that.
That's
not a part of that. But everybody's a part of anything that we have because they run it. So, you know, I just wanted to comment on how much that resonated with me because now, you know, we're talking about atonement with ourselves. So I got to confess my fault, which is in my place. Well, what's my fault? I'm not moving rapidly enough in terms of separation, you know.
That's right.
On all levels.
And in here. That's right. And
spiritual,
in here.
Physical. So how can I get the perfect union with Elijah and with each other? How can it work out if I can't get to that part? But it seems, by Elijah's permission, though, there is more of an awakening. We are starting to people are starting to see that hidden hand, and people are making moves. So, you know, Project Separation, building our promised land, our series, which inshallah we'll be the next one at the end of this month, to see that there are people doing something. And we must support that and come out in mass because they've acknowledged, even if the person offending didn't acknowledge it, I'm acknowledging, it ain't getting any better. So we're out of here and we're doing something for ourselves. So I just wanted to say that and thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Ma'am.
And this is a wonderful program this evening. Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear
sister.
Wonderful, and it just got better. Thank you so much for the reminders of really for the Holy Day of Atonement and the 8 steps and not your explanations of them, but what Allah God gave the minister for us. Thank you, Sister Donna, so much. And it really has helped us to move farther along. And if there are any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. 563-999-3065, and please press the 1. I would want to read something. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Because I just wanted to, after reading from the Janaza and the minister was speaking on the gift, and we know that gift with our beloved sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and all of the work that she had done, did, and I'm saying now will continue to do in the very near future for thousands of years to come, because if we follow what she did to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to get men and women, black, white, yellow, brown, for all people, really we can say for the whole of humanity, those who will listen, she was a gift from Allah God herself. And Sister Donna and I was talking earlier, and we were talking about some of the things that she had said to us as girls, as women just talking and not saying yes, ma'am, all through the conversation while we were talking, because we were just talking as women, black women. And she was showing us how to love ourselves, and then we love the sister the same as we love ourselves. If you don't love the sister the way you love yourself, you don't love yourself, because we have to want for sister and brother what we want for ourselves and be true in our words. But I know she was a gift to me. The way she just called and asked me to join the Nation of Islam with women, with her, because she was the only female minister at the time. I didn't even know why she was asking me that. And she just asked me, would I help her for 30 days? And I said, yes, ma'am, what would I have to do? And she said, I know you're not feeling well and you're healing, and if you could just teach for 30 days on Sundays, you don't have to do anything else. And I said, teach what? She said, but the minister said to her, you go search it out. If I don't have the answer for you, and as she was saying to me, then you go and you do what you need to do. I know you study, you read the wisdom book, you study the Bible, the Quran, so you'll find a lecture if it has to be a message to the black man. So I learned that from her. And I wish now I had been with her a little bit more on one-on-one, but I knew she was a busy woman, and I know that she now was from the very beginning, and she came into the Nation of Islam. And I'll say this, and I'll get back to the subject. She was so instrumental in my life that our lives were compared, like together. I'm 4 months older than her. My birthday is June the 11th. She's November the 9th. She was 71, I'm 72. Neither one of us felt we were in our 70s or acted as though we were in our 70s. We wanted to stay youthful with our teachings for the sisters that was coming, as she said, were still in the womb, and that the teachers would be here for them. And we did not know that this was coming as soon as it did. May Allah be pleased with her, as I know he is. But she was a gift to me, Sister Donna, and we know you were family to her, as well as that gift for her to you and I. And Sister Charlene, all of us that knew her personally and all that she went through to help the minister, there was no one stopping Sister Ava from helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And when I get that in my head and that is in my heart, I know I can't stop now. I have to keep going the way that I'm going. And that's the footsteps of Sister Ava Muhammad. And I know I can't be going wrong, because I'll be walking in the footsteps of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who gave her the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, whatever was being revealed to the minister. And I realize this more so now. It was revelation being written by the hand of Sister Ava Muhammad from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, being fed revelations from God himself. And she was getting that from him right when it was being revealed. What greater gift could a person have received? So I thank Allah. I love Allah more. I love myself like I should have from the beginning. I should have felt this way about myself all along, but we were robbed of that wisdom, that knowledge, understanding of the black woman being the mother of civilization. And you'll have to forgive me when I get excited, my voice starts to leave. But I want all male, female on this phone, and from this day forward, remember Sister Ava as the star that she is, not was, is, and that the greatest help that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan could have had, and is not belittling any male or other woman or women. She was just there submitting her will, as Sister said it earlier. It was to his brain, his wisdom, his knowledge, his Dr. Ridgely may have said it also, but the love that she had for Allah and the respect that she had for God himself, the minister instilled in her and what he told her about her cancer and all of this. She did everything that the minister asked her to do and wasn't looking to take his place, to outteach him, to outtalk him. She lived what he taught. The messenger lived what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what Master Fahd Muhammad taught him. He lived it. He was sick from trying it, so we would know that it works. And you hear some crazy person say, well, it worked for him, but it won't work for me. I'm not the messenger. I'm not the, you are a messenger. If you're a member of the Nation of Islam, you are a messenger of God. The only thing, the difference between us, we kill our messenger. When it tells us, don't do this, don't look at a sister the way you would look at your mother. And I'm going to say this because I just read it recently. The minister said, the mother of civilization, but we look at her, we look at her butt. We look at her boobs, and this is what he called it. If you don't believe me, just go read this in the final call, the paper with Sister Ava on the front of it. This is the thing that the minister is saying we should not do. You should look at a woman in the way that you would look at God, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We got everything in our heads but the right idea about a woman. Heaven does lie at the foot of mother. And if we can't understand it, then we need to ask Allah God for understanding. I think the more we look at a woman and see what God, through God's eyes, and I'm ministering with Farrakhan's eyes, because I heard he didn't know the color of her eyes. If he had to look at her eyes to know, she didn't look at his into his eyes, and he didn't look into hers. We have to practice that. We have to learn how, don't think you're hurting somebody's feelings because you let them know I'm trying to be a woman of God, not a thing of man, not a toy, not someone to play with. So we have to grow up into the mind, heart, and thinking of God himself so very, very much for all that she did to help me to get where I am. And I pray that Sister Donna and Sister Charlene, the sister that I heard speak tonight and that may be on this phone right now or listening to the broadcast, that we can be a better example. Keep marching on towards righteousness. And one day we won't even know that we are right or we are the righteous. Or we've made it to the best of the hereafter. We know that we will be part of the we and the us. I don't have to be mentioned by Sister Patricia. Makes no difference. Let me be part of the we and the us, and we can bring heaven in on earth while we live. And I thank you all so very, very much for letting me be a host tonight. And Sister Donna, Brother Darius, thank you all so much for letting me know that I'm not dead yet. I am physically alive, and I need to go to work and work hard to get our people to hear what we're talking about tonight and live that life. Don't be caught other, weighing other than yourself. That means the physical weight, and that means in wisdom, knowledge, and how to act at home and abroad. So I didn't mean to take up any more time, but do we have any more comments? Dr. Ridgely, Donna, Sister Charlene, anyone that's still on right now, you have the floor.
I do, Sister Patricia. Oh, my God. You know, you got me beaming. I'm smiling. All the teeth showing up here. And as you speak, I do a lot. Not just Sister Minister Ava, but I see Brother Darius. I see Sherelle. I see Sasha. I see the grandbabies. I see Elevated Places team. I see all of the different branches that Minister Ava, as a branch herself, of a great tree, the tree of the minister, the tree of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the tree of the Savior, Master Fahd Muhammad. I just see that playing out. And as you're speaking to what many different people live on and have come to and through to give their service to the gods and to the minister through Minister Ava. You know, I remember as you're speaking about the clarion call, I would say, you're putting here to the women and the men, you know, to stand
That's
up
right.
and to be ourselves and to be just to ourselves. You know, I remember Sister Minister Ava and Sister Minister Donna Farrakhan. I don't remember the year, but, oh, my God, this was a Women in the Ministry workshop that was held at Savior's Day. And I had to have that assignment, and so we were able to request them, and I would always put in first. Boom! This is what I want to cover, and the room was so energetic, and Sister Ava and Sister Donna, the way they poured into the sisters. And speaking of atonement, the topic of tonight, I witnessed them, and in particular, Minister Donna, go to great lengths, I mean to the end of the line, to encourage a sister, and she gave a pristine example of settling on the best part. No matter what was going on, what was said, and she was not neglecting what the sister was saying of herself, but she was just pulling whatever was supposed to be a negative, she pulled the light out of it. And I just saw her hand the light to the sister, like in terms of the other world. And this woman was so bright by the time she left out. So at any rate, that workshop was an inspiration. It was a call for the women to stand up, use your gifts. And it reminds me of Mother Tanya the Muhammad. Now, may Allah be pleased with her. Stand up. And it's not about the rostrum.
No,
and
ma'am.
To use their gifts and their talents, like Sister Sudan Muhammad, Sister Maleka Muhammad, and there are many others before I start calling
yes,
the names.
Ma'am.
Let me not leave anyone out, but I'm just saying I know these are sisters specifically that she lifted up to go forward and to do the work of God, because our sisters are suffering, and through our sisters, our families, our brothers, and our children. But I want to also add one more thing on what Sister Donna was saying about the atonement. But even before that, you're right, Sister Patricia. You know, when I sit and I reflect, and it looks like I'm going down into some type of sadness, which I don't have a right to be into over, you know, what has happened with Minister Ava by Allah's permission. But we do want to know what happened. You know,
yes, ma'am.
Yes,
sir.
You know, there's a mystery there. But to get off that, I want to say that just the conversations working with COVID, much less any of the other personal conversations that she granted me. You know, if we think about, and I know y'all may have gone through this, but when we think about what kind of time she gave us, and I say us because I know how. Look, I might be like maybe in the 100, 200. I don't know where I will be on the list, but let's talk about her family. First of all, her teacher, her executive council colleagues. Then look, just think about the amount of time that we would spend on the phone with her. It was 10 minutes, given the task that she undertook for the minister in the nation. That's what I'm talking about, this branch. She's a sister who knew how to get it done and was not egotistical and so very humble in it.
Yes.
Would listen and then guide. And it was always what she was taught by the teacher, right?
That's right.
The minister,
right.
Muhammad, even those who taught her, like Brother Lynn Warren X, she was never, ever one to hide what she received, what she got from. And from that, you're able to go and just study her and everyone else that she's pointing you to. But when I think about what you're saying in terms of her, yes, sister, we have a duty to multiply in terms of those things that she taught and to I would say, in addition to carry on the work, to elevate it to the next level. And this may be something that over the last few shows have been expressed. I haven't been here, but I'm here today. And I'm thank Allah.
You are definitely needed today.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, one more thing on that branch, and then one last point. You know, look at Sister Sherelle. Look at the legal mind there, but not just the legal mind, the spirit of activism and using your force and power of being on Howard University campus.
Wow.
You know, her work as well as the peers with her. Look, this is Ms. Aiden, Brother Darius' daughter, reached over across a national network of students. It hit my son's campus in Grambling and had him considering taking up the mantle that they were working for at Howard. So I'm just getting ready to get called. All the list of stuff that I have been thinking about, the impact beyond what we do. But, you know, this is why I respect this time, you know. Again, I just wanted to say, just imagine any of us who got any time with her, that was time that was also something she would and could have been doing for the minister or her family, her grandbaby.
Yes.
But she would say, no, I have a minute. And she would give you that time. And so we have been enriched into much given, much is required. And so just thank you all for that. On atonement, a wise man said to me and another person who were seeking guidance on the atonement, on mediation for atonement, said that the wise man among us said he starts at number 6, because without number 6 and forgiveness, you really can't get to the other ones. Now, that's not a quote, and that's why I'm saying it the way I'm saying it. But number 6 is where he starts. And then you can have some sincerity in the rest of the atonement process. But I won't go any further. I thank you all for just letting me be here and express. I'm going to go on mute and enjoy the rest of the show. So thanks for your patience.
Let me interject something here right behind what Sister Charlene said about number 6, about forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
I want you to listen very carefully. Now, some people in the nation have done some things to me that I really did not appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if they know what they did. But then I know they do. And I see them and I'm saying, you're carrying what you did that you're wondering whether I know what you did or not.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is come to me and say, Brother Rizzi, you know, brother, I don't want you to believe or think that what I did it as being mean or evil, but I did what I thought was right. But I see now that it may not have been the right move to make. And I want to ask your forgiveness. Do you know what I have to do as a believer? Do you know what I have to do?
Mm-hmm.
I have to forgive him or her. I have to
mm-hmm.
do it. So
mm-hmm.
really, when you go and fess up to somebody in the nation as a believer, when you fess up, you put them on the spot. Because now, if they're a believer, they have to forgive you. If they don't forgive
Absolutely.
You, then they're not
Absolutely.
A believer.
That's
but
right.
now, once you fessed up and they forgave you, you hug, in spite of COVID-19 social distancing. That's another whole story, the whole game they play with that. You hug and you get over it, and now you all can go and do business together. You can't do business. We're not made like the devil. We're not made like the pack of wolves. So we can do business with a liar and a cheat and a crook, because we're all liars and cheat and crook, and we know that. And so they don't get upset the way we get upset. They just go get a drink. They just go get a drink. They go to the bar and they all drink together. You know, after the lawyers, they fight one another in court, they go to the bar and drink together?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But we, once we fight, we don't want to see each other. All right? We're just different. So therefore, we have to practice atonement. And no blanket atonement don't get it. It's got to be specific to the person you did it to. And you got to fess up to that person. And that person got to forgive you, not the whole group. Well, you know, if I ever did anything to anybody that ends it, y'all, I atone. Shut up.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam, Dr. Ridley. Thank you so much. You and Sister Charlene for that. And Sister Donna, thank you for bringing us back to October the 16th. That is Sunday. And if we would do as the minister ask us to do just with that, and don't wait until October to celebrate or notice that it's atonement time. No, atonement is every day. Whether that person right. forgive us or not, I know if it's a believer and they don't accept it, I atoned to a sister and she said she wasn't accepting it. Happened to me. It hurt, stabbed. I'll accept it when I get ready. You can't make me. It just went from one thing to the other. And I just said, okay, I know. If I wrong you, let me know whatever it was I did or I said or I didn't say or you thought I said. I said, I have to go on with the 8 steps of atonement, and someone made them and put them on a little card so you could carry them with you at all times, to study them at all times, learn how to apply them at all times. And whether I think I hurt anybody or not, still doesn't hurt to ask for forgiveness for what I may have done knowingly, unknowingly, willingly, unwillingly, whatever it was that I did. I need to know
And if you won't let me know, then Allah will forgive me if I keep asking him to. And then after a while, you just have to leave it with Allah. The minister said one time, somebody asked him, how do you know if Allah is going to answer your prayer, or did he answer your prayer? He said, whatever you prayed for, did you get it? Whatever you prayed for, did it happen? So if it's no longer on your mind, if you're not thinking about it anymore, not saying you, it won't cross your mind, but he said to know that he has forgiven you for it, it's not going to weigh you down. It's not going to bother you. The guilt is not there anymore. You'll think about it because you're going to thank Allah for working it out, that you don't have to worry about it anymore. So all we have to do is pray, not beg. And my sister did tell me, Sister Ava told me once we were talking about prayer, and I said, when you pray and you cry, does God still listen to your prayers? And she said, he always listens because he knows what you're going to say before you pray. But sometimes when you pray, you do cry. But if you can, you know, pray without crying, that's fine. But she says, just don't weigh yourself down. Try not to cry, because you don't know what's going on between you and yourself at the time. That fight, that's a war between you and yourself. And only Allah can help you to overcome. It's really Satan in my head. I don't want to put Satan right there. It's that little devil that he made that's in my head. So I'm trying to rid myself of that, because we're told whenever we go to bow down to pray, stand to pray, where is Satan at that time when we are asking Allah that I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan? Where is he? Oh, you don't see him anywhere. Oh, that's that whispering, shrinking, whispering devil in my ear. Yeah, that's my conscience talking to me. That's me talking to me. So don't try to quiet that person. You listen and obey, and let that self-accusing spirit keep working. And I promise you, so many things in my life, brothers and sisters, have happened to me, and I prayed to Allah, and they just disappeared. There were things when I first came in the nation to make this short as I possibly can. And I used to borrow money every year for Christmas, every year, trying to get my children everything they wanted, trying to get a new tree every year, living in the country. All I had to do was just go in the woods or in the yard to cut one down. But no, I wanted the new shiny tree. And every time I would ask Allah for something, even back then and didn't know, it was just more debt, more debt, more debt. When Christmas rolled around again, I'm still paying off last Christmas. I had four children to raise and divorce. And all of this time, I went to the bank and I borrowed some money the last time, the year before I joined the nation. And I went to the bank to pay the note off, and I had maybe 6 months in the nation. And I said, I came to pay my note off, and this was the whole note. And the lady said, Patricia, she said, what note? And I said, you know, my usual note. She said, you don't have no note over here. She said, you paid it off. I said, oh, that's right. I did, didn't I? I said, thank you. I said, oh, girl, I forgot. But that was a loss. They never came after that $700. I know I didn't pay it off, but he started answering my prayers, working with me then, when people would tease me about my long dresses on now. I didn't have uniforms, but, you know, we made our dresses into tops and wore our pants. And so every time someone would say something negative to me, that Farrakhan fella, you know, his daughters is this, and they in clubs. I heard so many negative things. Elijah Muhammad got you all buying him mink coats. You know, it was so much stuff every time. And you all listen to me well. Every one of those people, something happened to them. Not the day after. It seemed like the same night they leave the family reunion. They either got robbed, somebody got sick, car wrecked, somebody fell off the back porch drunk. Every time. So I stopped asking a lot. Is Islam for me? I knew Islam was for me. And I'm here today to bear witness and testify to so many things. So we ever have a party one day, all of y'all on the phone for testimonies, oh, we're going to have some testimonies to tell. Can't do them all tonight. So we're getting ready to close out in a few minutes. So if there are any more remarks or comments, we would take them now. We still have about 15 more minutes, look like maybe 15 or less.
Okay. This is Dr. Rich. I want to leave the people with a path. You know, I'm a teacher and a scientist. I want to leave them with a task. You remember I said that the Million Man March was the culmination of a process of stop the killing. And it wound up with the Million Man March, and the atonement process was what was given us for us to stop the killing and to stop the fighting, infighting amongst each other.
Yes,
now,
sir.
On that day, the world got a glimpse of heaven as we were there in peace. And I don't know if y'all, in my opinion, I give my opinion, we look in Revelation, but we talk about them coming up, this great army singing a song that nobody ever heard before, you know. We
yes,
was
sir.
At the step of the beast saying, Allahu Akbar. Do you know what that did to the world for a group of slaves who they thought that Allah was driven out? Most of the people on that mall were Christian brothers, and they
yes,
said,
sir.
Allahu Akbar. That sent chills through the enemy, and that let the world know who was the leader of black people in America, and actually they saw the work of the Messiah.
Yes, they
so,
did.
Fast forward, July 4th, 2020.
Yes, sir.
Farrakhan stepped out into the garden, and he gave the criteria, and he told us, black people in America, and he told the African leaders, do not allow them to come in your country with those shots. Those people understood that they were listening to a man of God because, you know, he had come after the Million Man March. He did these friendship tours all through Africa. These people recognized who he is, and when he spoke, they responded. So they backed the devil out of their country, basically, and then the devil had to give those shots to his own, and now they're fighting one another over the shots they thought were supposed to be given to us. In fact, they were given to them. Now, what I want people to I talked about the before and after the Million Man March. But let's look at 2000, the Million Family March. Let's look at 2005, the Million Woman. And then let's look at 10-10-15, Justice on Earth. Let's study what was going on before and then what happened
after.
Okay? Because to see the effect Minister Farrakhan had on the enemy, that he had to do things differently than what he planned to do. He had to do things that he wasn't ready to do. And now he has been exposed. He come out with these over the human beings, but instead people are dropping dead on camera. People are dropping dead in your face. They call it sudden adult death syndrome. Like it was sudden. Infant death syndrome. Now it's sad. A lot of people are real sad over taking that shot.
That's right.
But Minister Farrakhan warned us, but guess what? A lot of people listened. Why? Because of what he did in 1995. Okay? Now, Justice O'Hell, that was supposed to be a race war. Remember?
Right.
Leading up to to 2010-2015, they killed our brothers in the street and put it on camera so everybody could see. The brother McDonald shot down and Brown shot down. So it was like we was ready to fight. Young people were ready to fight. And Mr. Farrakhan said, justice or else, if he called for 10,000 fearless, and almost a million showed up, and they was ready for the marching order. And what marching order did he give them? He said, boycott. Boycott.
Yes,
do like Martin Luther King said. Bring them the pain. Take away their God.
Yes.
Their God is money. Don't give them no money. All right? So then, here we got 2005. Remember, we did atonement in 1995. 2005, he brought forth the nine ministries. Now, what are these nine ministries? This is a government. This is a government. I'm the Minister of Agriculture. But we got eight other of those ministries that if we would apply them, we could give people something to do when they join the nation underneath the voice of Minister Farrakhan.
Absolutely.
We could change the nation of Islam from just being a church with a star and crescent on top, to being the centerpiece for a community, for a nation, where we have ministries that are operating to give the functions of a nation to a people, and therefore we can produce jobs. We can produce jobs from those ministries by supplying the needs and wants of our people, giving them something to do, so that now people don't have to look to the white man for everything. We can look to each other.
That's right.
And now everybody don't have to be on the roster. Everybody don't have to be a minister or captain or secretary. Okay? You can be a farmer. You can be a mathematician. You can run a business. You can make clothes. You can hire people. You can be a part of a nation. In fact, not the one thing I'm going to close with this. Remember, was the regional minister for the southern region. She said, what we need to do in the southern region is each city needs to find a particular product that they can make and make well. And then what we can trade products. So let's say here, we're doing food over here. What if Atlanta set up a clothing factory? Okay, so when I take the truck from the farm up to Atlanta to take food, I can bring the clothes back down here to this area of the country. Instead of me going up to Atlanta with food and coming back with nothing. So if each of our cities had done like Minister Ava said we should do, produce a product, then we can begin trade. Now we got transportation, but the truck can make money going both ways. Right now, if we got a product, we go one way with it, and come back empty, that's double the cost. But if we're producing something, then we can trade, develop commerce with one another, and now we have a nation within a nation. Donald Elias Muhammad was going to unite the different segregated communities into a nation of separate states within a nation, and we would do trade and commerce, have a working unity, and have a nation within a nation. This is why they came strong with integration. Because they saw that we had the ability to, in fact, have a nation within a nation, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad was to pull that all together. So now, they tricked us out of that. Now we got nothing, and it costs a whole lot of money to get into anything now, in terms of business-wise. So we don't have time to play. Get together with your brother and your sister. Find out what the problem is with you and them and yourself, and let's take the spirit of the Million Man March. Let's take the spirit that we have when we're around this far time. You know, let's take that love, that glow, and let's come back home and hold on to it a little bit longer. Hold on to it. And if your brother, your sister offends you, then say, hey, man, come on, brother. What's that about? Man, we're in far time. You know, we don't do that. We don't do that to each other, man. Come on, no, come on, man. See, we got to now. As a matter, Minister Farrakhan has proven to us over these last 2 years that this man is serious about killing a whole bunch of people.
That is true. Right?
He ain't getting no better. He ain't going to get no better because, what, this is the end of his 6,000 years, and if he cannot take over your life, he will kill it. He only wants for you to be a slave. And if you're not going to be his slave, he'll kill you and kill himself too, because for him it's not worth living if he can't make you his slave. Listen, I'm going to say it again. For the so-called white man, for the devil, he cannot enjoy living unless he makes you his slave. If he cannot live in a world of equality with you, because it's just not in him. So we don't want to do anything to white folks except leave alone. We don't want to do anything to white folks except separate from them. Y'all go on to y'all own, and we go on out. Y'all go on out your own and get ugly and wrinkly at 45 and 50 and 60, and we'll stay with our own black self who stays real free all the way until they get 90. All right?
Yes,
I don't want to show my pretty black face in your face and you be hurt because God gave me this beauty and your God who made you took it away. We don't want to hurt you like that. We want to separate, be with our own, and let you be with your own. And we'll meet at the trading post and do a little trading.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Vision. That sounds like the summary of the night. Thank you all that participated with us tonight on the Elevated Places. I'd like to thank Brother Dale and Brother Hoyle. It wasn't so many that I could not name them. And I don't know if I said Brother Ali and Sister Charlene, Sister Donna, all of you all. And if I left anyone out, it was not my intention. But I thank you all for making me comfortable for the first time in this role as host. Thank you, Sister Donna and Brother Darius, for trusting me enough to help out tonight and do something to try to pay back what my sister has done for me. And I pray to Allah that we all have learned something tonight from one another. And this is what unity will do for us. When we come together like we did tonight, then we can best serve our people by loving each other, doing what is right by each other. And the brother, Dr. Ridgely, just really summed it up, that if we do all of what he's asked us to do, let them go to wherever it is they need to go, because I know Allah is sending them all to one place where they can be, I guess, really taken off the planet. Because there's one thing I've noticed, I ask people about it too, why does white women age so fast? And why does their chest look like a monkey when you see a shaven monkey? What kind of disease is that that they have? That they chest and they ears, if they look at themselves, they should know they are not like us at all in any way, fashion, or form. And this is not criticizing. This is just how Allah made them. And I heard Dr. Aleem say on a podcast once, he went to the zoo and he was over where the monkeys was, and there was this old ape. And he said something just told him, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it was this statement. He said, "Assalamu alaikum." That ape was just laying around, old, nothing to do, chilling out. He said, "Chilling," and he just went up to the cage close enough to say, "Assalamu alaikum." He said that ape jumped up, started hitting on his chest, making noise, got quiet. He said it again, "Assalamu alaikum." Ape jumped up again. He said, "Oh, that ape knew something." Just to say that. I mean, is that not why they call a baby chimpanzee? Oh, he's so cute. No, he's not cute. The little thing is ugly as sin. He's not cute. Now you got us saying, oh, little monkey is so cute. No, he's not. But we got to learn now. We got to do for self, think for self, feed self, because everything else is coming to an end but Islam itself. Noah's Ark is being built with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the steering wheel of it, of the oil, whatever that is on that ship, because it was a crude-looking ship back in the day when Noah was building. But this ship today, kind of like a Bentley, Cadillac, Rolls Royce, all put together. There's nothing wrong with this ship. So we ask Allah now to bless us, to adhere to the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught, exemplified by him through his Messiah messenger in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our Jesus. We thank Allah for all of you and all of the nation of Islam, registered and non-registered. We got to go after our people like we never have before. We're going to do the 8 steps of atonement, and we're going to practice more on that number 6. The forgiveness, and then we're going to act on number 2. We got to acknowledge that we need some help. Thank you all so much. May Allah continue to bless us all with the best of health and his spirit. And I pray that all of us will get a chance to talk to each other over the holidays of the Holy Day of Atonement, the weeks to come, and the years to be in the Nation of Islam. I love you all so much. Thank you again, Brother Darius and Sister Donna, for letting me help tonight. May Allah bless us all with the blessed light of understanding. Love you all, and assalamu alaikum.